People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg and I have with me my co-host and friend Larry.
Good to see your face again. Good morning.
Yeah.
And I mean that, actually.
I appreciate it.
I really do.
And it's rare you sound so sincere.
And you look really good today.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you too. I really mean that.
I'm excited, Larry, for today's show. And I'll tell you why.
I always get excited
about doing our show because it's a rare moment in our week where we get to focus on people helping one another, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason we do this radio show is because there are so many people out there that want to get involved and want to help, and they might not have any idea how. And they might not be informed about different subjects that are important and basically the most important thing in other people's lives that are affecting them in such a way that they need help. People help one another, and that's why we started this radio show. Mm-hmm. And today we have a story that best exemplifies this, I believe. We received an email only a couple of days ago, which was forwarded along to me by Shrija, startup with Shrija, of course. And it was from Simreen, and she says, over the last week, a Bay Area couple have been tirelessly trying to help their friend who is battling leukemia in the hospital right now in dire need of a stem cell donor. Immediately, I was like, we got to get back in touch. Well, one part of that couple, Renu, is on the phone with us today. And I'm really eager, Renu, for you to explain to us and help us understand this story, because I think it will touch people and really get them involved. So first off, welcome to People Helping People.
Welcome, Renu.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and allowing me to share Girish's story and possibly helping him and countless others who are in need.
Oh, please. I'm very curious if you could set it up for our listeners and explain a bit of the story.
Okay. So I'm Renu, and my husband and I, we have a dear friend in New York called Sanju. I went to university together, and this was about a long time ago. And really dear couple, and her husband was diagnosed with leukemia last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, any family that hears the word leukemia, it brings up, you know, these horror stories. But, you know, for them, they're a very, very positive couple. And the hope was that chemotherapy would help and, you know, it would help cure. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, during the whole process, chemotherapy hasn't helped. And today, he's at a point where he needs a bone marrow transplant. And you know, for him especially, it is challenging, primarily because he is a South Asian. And the challenge that lies with South Asians is that for a stem cell transplant, you need to have a donor who matches your proteins, whatnot. And I'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue with him is that there's not a lot of South Asians who are registered with the National Registry, which is BeTheMatch or NMDP. So the chances of finding a success or rather a donor who matches yours is really a small percentage. So there's only about 7% of South Asians who are represented.
Wow.
So in the entire registry, and we're just talking about the U.S. So now when you're looking for a donor and you have a small representation in the registry, you know, the chances of finding that one donor just go down by a big amount.
Right.
So, and for Girish, he has not found a perfect match. And so while you don't have a perfect match, you pick up someone else, the chances just go down of a successful transplant. So we, along with a set of friends and community members like Samreen, you know, they have made it their own mission to find that one perfect match for Girish and, you know, help him along the way. And this will also help a lot of other people, other South Asians who are in need as well.
I'm most impressed when I did receive the email from Samreen that I thought it was possible she was friends or a friend of the family or an extended friend family of some sort. But mm-hmm. when I found out that she was just passing the story along to as many people in media as she could, in order to get the message out, it really does restore my faith in human kindness and people in general, because
right. There's
I think we're all so busy sometimes we forget that in our haste that other people are suffering and they aren't in a time in their lives when things are flowing easily. Mm-hmm. In this case, mm-hmm. We could tell that he needs help, Girish. And I think the fact that you guys have gotten involved and now made it part of your mission to get him mm-hmm. the help. But where does it begin is my question, Rainu. Where does this help begin? Is it with hosting drives? Is it just going online? Can you share some of that with us?
Yeah, so, as friends, I certainly knew about that he needed a donor, right? But a couple of weeks ago was when we got to know that, okay, he doesn't have the right match. So what do we do, right? Mm-hmm. And then you actually start doing your research. Okay, how do we go finding this one match, be it in the U.S. or internationally, and what are the odds of finding the match?
Mm-hmm.
And then while doing this research, right, and Google is a big help there, one thing that came about was, A, because there's not many South Asians registered into, in the National Registry, most of the patient's family or friends, what they end up doing is they end up hosting these drives and creating this awareness around their friends, community, and it just ends up being a lot of grassroots efforts. Now, there are a lot of organizations here in the Bay Area that have taken this up, like AADP, for an example, but there are others as well, like DKMS that we are working with, that do the awareness. But how is we, I'm really closely associated with Girish, so this is close to me, right? So, and staying here in San Jose and them in New York, how could we enable them and how could we help them? And the only thing that we could see was, okay, we can start creating the awareness. And so that's where this started out. And as part of the awareness, we're like, okay, we need more donors. And we're like, okay, let's start hosting drive. And my husband Avinash and I started getting in touch with some of our college friends, family and other friends, and just decided how to go about doing this. And within 2 weeks now, we have organized about 60 plus drives nationwide, and this includes New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Oregon, Washington, California, Texas, and this is all just grassroots efforts that we have done. And in these 2 weekends that we've hosted drives, we've been able to get about 1,000 plus donors to register.
Ooh.
So that's where this has all come in, and we started off with just us, but it has just taken up its own life. And I think, as you said, right, humanity still persists, and these two weeks have just brought about that, that thought so much close to us that people who have absolutely nothing to do with Girish have actually reached out and have said, okay, how can we help? Can I host a drive? And there's these questions that are really touching people, and they understand the story and they want to bring about change. And that's what is very, very heartening to see.
I agree with you. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I'm not a big proponent of social media, as Greg knows. But Facebook, even GoFundMe kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have already looked into stuff like that. But that's a big help. It's helped a lot of people that way, even Facebook.
Yeah, that's where social media
can help. Everybody's got a
help.
Facebook page.
That's right. I'm sure you agree, Rainu, that it's nice that there are ways to get things out to people quickly in different parts of the country and different parts of the world. My curiosity is, first off, when you do host these drives, and you say you've had over 1,000 donors, I believe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are they now checking to see if there's a compatibility? Like, what happens and what does that mean to Girish?
Right. So, as you said, right, firstly, social media is big. So when we started thinking about these drives, the first question was, how do we spread the awareness of Girish's story to everyone?
Yeah.
And how do we have that emotional connect to everyone, right? And that's when, when you hear someone's story and you empathize with it is when you actually go about making that change.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true with Girish. So the first thing we did was we set up a website with Girish and his story. And that is live on SOS Girish. And there's a Facebook page with the same story. And the name for that website, SOS Girish, came about from just Girish himself. Now, Girish is a person, he's a big pillar of the community in New Jersey. And, from his childhood, he was taught about, you know, service to the community and giving back to the community. So much so that his wife nicknamed him SOS, because any problem anyone would have, they would say, you know, let's go to Girish. You know, he can help.
He's one
and
of those.
His wife was like, oh, you are SOS. You know, everyone comes to you for help, right? And today he's at a point where he needs help. So that's where the name SOS Girish came from. And so the Facebook page has been really helpful, because that is where we set up all the events, the new drives that we're hosting. And, you know, there's, of course, WhatsApp, where we're spraying out the message. But we want, when we want to reach out to the masses who have no connect to us, you know, Facebook is the way to go. So, so that's where the social media has helped. And your second question was, lost track.
That's okay.
Are you, this is very close to us. So, you know.
It's a lot. I'm sure it's a lot. I mean, what you're doing is really unbelievable. And I know it's important to you because they're close with you. It doesn't make it any easier. You know, you have a life and family, and you know, it's, you always want to help. I think that's what we always say, is if you get involved at some level, even if it's just a little bit, if everybody did just a little bit, we could get so much accomplished, and it shouldn't
you,
fall
you on. You're absolutely right on that.
One person should not be responsible for all of this, but it seems it's a pretty dire, urgent situation for Girish. So I hope we could get that sense of urgency across. But where is he in the process right now? How desperate are we? How hard should we be pushing for more donors to help him out?
He is at a point where he needs a transplant now, as soon as the right donor is found. He does not have the luxury of time.
Okay.
And that is where the point comes in, where, you know, everyone deserves that second chance. And having that right donor is especially critical, because that means your success of transplant is higher. So that's his second chance of life. And he needs that. And each of us needs that, right? You know, unfortunately, he's at a point where he needs someone, or each of us, to help. Tomorrow it might be me, or tomorrow it might be you. So I think we all need to do that part. And in all of this, one of the things that has you know, come up is, you know, when we have been doing these drives, or, you know, talking to people, or doing this outreach, the biggest concern is fear that
pain,
people have.
Pain and
just
fear.
Just when they hear the word bone marrow transplant, you know, people back away.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to do anything to do with it. And it's primarily because they do not know what it means. And probably, you know, something about from 20 years ago comes to mind, where, yes, it used to be a painful process, but today, with the advancement of medical technology, things have drastically changed. 80% of the transplants today are just stem cell transplants. It is not at all painful. It's very much like a blood platelet donation, you know, where you go for blood donation, they just take the platelets out.
Right.
Exactly similar, where, you know, the stem cells are extracted and your blood goes back in. So you don't lose any blood. So only your stem cells are extracted. And that's 80% of the time for transplants. And 20% of the time is actual a bone marrow transplant, where they extract the marrow from the pelvic bone. But again, it is just from the pelvic bone. It's not from the spinal cord.
Right.
And that's where people, I think that's where the myth is, that, you know, they will poke a needle into my spine. It's risky. And no, it's totally wrong. And a few days of, you know, ibuprofen, whatnot, pain medications, and you're up on your way. And your body regenerates your stem cells or your marrow that has been extracted. And a few weeks, you're back to normal. So essentially, it's not painful. It's not harmful for your health. So it is actually a very painless and not risky at all.
That's a big part of this, is I think.
I think
you put it best, or maybe I think it was you put in the email, it says busting the myth. Because I immediately think of the pain involved, right? And it's not that I wouldn't do it, but I feel if people knew that, first of all, that the process isn't always going to be a bone marrow. It sometimes it is just take it from the blood. I think that would help ease a little bit of their concern in getting involved. But where do you do this? Can anybody just go and donate? Is it something you have to specifically seek out drives that they're doing, or are there places where people can go to do this?
No, so you don't actually go and donate your stem cells or marrow.
Okay.
The first thing that you do is you register to become a donor. And what that means is you say, okay, get a simple test for me done, and my information goes in a registry. And when a patient is in need, you know, that patient will look into the registry and say, okay, is there someone who matches, you know, my protein, so to speak?
Yeah.
And yes, then, you know, the additional testing is done, blood testing is done. And so what does it mean to become a donor? So there's organizations like Be The Match, and there's also DKMS, who we are working with, and they will send you a swab test kit, mm-hmm. and essentially means swabbing your cheek. And what it does is it collects your protein markers from your body,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only thing that is required. And that gets tested, and each of us have unique protein markers, and that's the information that is required when a patient looks for the right donor. So just a swab of your cheek, and that goes in, gets tested, and goes into the registry.
Like a DNA.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So to start off with, no blood test. The only blood test will happen if there is a match and a patient is in need. They will reach out to you and say, hey, you know what? Yes, you know, you are a match. Let's go ahead and see what needs to be done next. And this is only true for people who are 18 to 55.
Okay.
Is the age group that you know, can donate.
Okay.
So essentially, this is a call out to all those young people out there, because, you know, they do have the drive, they do have the passion, and they do want to make a change. So this is an urge to all of them out there to go and get themselves registered as donors.
Oh, wow. Raina, this is amazing stuff, because I think we always say, Larry and I have a thing where we do the show not to we're not the experts on anything. We like to bring people in that can help inform our listeners and inform people and give them the right information so that they can take that information, make it a little easier on them to go take that information and do something positive with it. And
yes.
I think you really have at least painted the picture
that
this is very achievable without a lot of pain and a lot of time, and you can have a huge impact on someone's life. Whether it's Garish or if it's somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important thing is if we just tell people right now, where do you recommend they help? What can they do right now? Should they go
right
online?
Right now we have multiple drives going around the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
and the Facebook page, SOS Garish, has all the information of the drives that we have going for the next 2 weeks. You know, post that, I know Be The Match is the right organization, or you can go and register on DKMS, dkms.org, and they will send you a kit to your home. So if you're not near a drive, get the kit home, get yourself tested, and send it back.
Beautiful.
And that's about it. It's very, very simple.
It is simple.
It is. And we will put the information on the website as well, on both our PeopleHelpingPeopleRadio.com, also on Bali 92.3's website.
Right.
Because I feel like this is very important that we give people easy access to this. But I really recommend going to SOSGIRISH. That would be where you want to search on Facebook and you will find the page, correct?
Yeah, absolutely right. It's SOSGIRISH on Facebook, or the same words.com on the website. And that will send you back to all the events that you're organizing, and it'll also send you to, you know, a register page where you can register and get the kit home.
Great.
Randy, this is absolutely unbelievable. I thank you so much for doing this for us. Everyone who's listening, I'm sure, appreciates what you're doing for your friend. And as I said, it not so much that you wouldn't do this anyway, being that they are close with you, but it's nice to know that there are people out there that are taking on these, I guess you would say, initiatives for others and doing the
thank
right
you.
Thing. So thank you for that.
And I do want to leave you with one message, and this is a message that comes from my kids.
Please.
They've been instrumental, just not my kids, my friends' kids, whatnot. They've been helping with the drives that we've been organizing, and they've done their posters, you know, they're trying to get people in. But there was one phrase that my kids wrote out and that really stood out to me. Very simple. Be a superhero, be a donor.
Yeah.
Leave it to a child.
You know,
out.
And it's like, you know, this is so true, right? It comes
it
from
is.
A kid's mouth, but, you know,
yep.
that's what I want to leave everyone with.
Out of the mouth of babes, so they say.
So direct and so simple and poignant at the same time.
Leave it to our kids.
Renu, thank you so much for doing this with us. And we hope that this word getting out and your help today will hopefully help fix the problem, or it help at least seeing Garish get back on his feet and healthy again. So thank you for doing this for us, and the best of luck to you and everyone else.
Yeah, blessings
to
you all.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll speak to you again soon. Thank you. That was outrageous, Larry.
Perfect.
You know what? I think today's show, we have 10 minutes left, and I think in this show I'd like to highlight a few of these other stories as well, because this is the exact reason today's show sort of took shape last minute. Because you brought in this letter that was... Can you set it up and then I'll read the letter?
Yeah, I can. This letter is from a very good friend of mine. He's actually deaf, totally deaf, and he reads your lips perfectly.
Right.
So you would never really know it, except that his volume's pretty loud when he talks to you. But a wonderful, sweet human being. But anyway, he's very involved in Make-A-Wish, and this story that Greg is going to read you, I believe, was what kicked it off in the very beginning. This is how it all got started.
So the letter starts, how Make-A-Wish all started. 1980, with U.S. Customs agent Tommy Austin for 7-year-old Chris Gracious, who was dying of leukemia. Chris was only 7 years old when he died, but he taught me about being a man. Even though he was only a boy, I can tell you that because of meeting Chris. I am an entirely different man. Ron Cox, the Arizona Department of Public Safety, said the same thing. He said he didn't fear death anymore because he knew Chris would be there waiting for him. And this is Tommy Austin from Make-A-Wish, co-founder, retired U.S. Customs agent. And from Chris's mom, Linda, it's been more than 30 years since my son Chris received his wish, and I am still amazed and inspired how one little boy's dream to be a policeman has touched the lives of so many thousands of people. Linda Pauling, mother of Chris, the boy whose wish inspired the founding of Make-A-Wish. So that was the whole dawn of Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, that is where it all
1980.
Started. Yeah.
And it still has an impact on families. I have many, I know you know, I'm very close with Ocean of Love in New Jersey,
right.
They deal with childhood cancer, and I know many kids that have benefited from Make-A-Wish and made their relatively bleak existence at those times and going through some very difficult moments and diagnoses that were not exactly positive, and they had those moments of happiness and joy where they were able to forget their hardships because they had those Make-A-Wish moments.
Yeah.
Those are special, and it's just nice to see again that there are people out there that are so involved, and even when it's not directly related to them, they're still doing the right thing.
Yeah, it makes life worth living, because and we know how stressful life can be so often.
You, a couple weeks back, we touched upon on a show. I want to at least hit this before we leave. You showed me on your phone, and I read it direct. I didn't even have it set up, so I don't know how I didn't screw it up. It said, "My Miracle Man, Gilbert Lara." And I read the story on air. I want to follow up on this because there was a procedure yesterday.
No, it wasn't yesterday.
Or a couple days?
It's been about a week now, I think.
Okay, because I saw the update and it said 16 hours ago with the last update.
That's really? Maybe there was a procedure.
Let me give you the story.
Okay,
So briefly, Gilbert, this was from his wife, Lara. Gilbert, my husband of almost 42 years, is my life. Everyone says we're attached at the hip. He is my soulmate and best friend. We have been blessed to have 3 beautiful daughters, 7 amazing grandchildren, and 1 great grandson soon to be born. We have owned our own salon, Miracles, a salon, for 31 years. We are together 24/7, and I love it. Being self-employed is hard, but I thank God every day that God has been able to provide what we need. To have a family and a life every day, what do we love, have made best of friends. They are not just our clients. We're thankful for our family, so on and so forth. Anyhow, he started noticing headaches and vision problems 4 to 5 months ago, and he had pain in his eye that hurt terribly. I took him to see our doctor, asked her to do an MRI, and she agreed. We were not expecting what the doctor would say. On his birthday, August 27th, he turned 64. As we were waiting for our neurosurgeon to come in, we wanted to believe the tumor was operable. As we waited for the doctor, we were optimistic. On the day of his 64th birthday, we had been we had found out he had been diagnosed with glioblastoma, which is a very serious brain cancer. I mean, I know a friend of mine who has it right now,
yeah,
sadly.
Yeah, you told me that.
He will have brain surgery on September 13th at 8:30 a.m. So you were right. It was a couple weeks back at Kaiser in Redwood City. They were asking for prayers. Apparently, the update, the previous update, I will say, it's been 1 month since the journey began. The brain surgery went well. We were able to remove majority of the tumor. Sadly, this is an aggressive tumor. It has tentacles that grow into the brain that you can't remove. We saw an oncologist today. He has a fourth stage GBM, but new treatments and chemo pill and radiation can give him more time. His spirits are good. He is a fighter. Continue to pray for us. We need your love and support. And then in the most recent update, she said she was heading back into work and leaving him, which she didn't want to do. Obviously, she wouldn't want to do that. But I guess it's important at this point to get back to life, and they need to support each other. And they did raise almost $40,000 towards their $50,000 goal. Yeah, on GoFundMe.
So is that still up, by the way? Or does
it is still up and alive. Yeah, that is an active page on GoFundMe. The best way to find it is to go to just Google My Miracle Man, Gilbert Lara.
L-A-R-A, correct?
Yeah, L-A-R-A. Gilbert, okay. L-A-R-A at the end. And you'll find the GoFundMe page. I think it's worth it just for the story itself. Not too dissimilar from the story we heard today.
No,
from
it's
Rainer.
Not. I think it's all related.
Yeah.
It really is. And there are so many people out there that want to help. You know, if we can't do anything, if we can't help, what's life all about, really, when you think about it? So people like Gilbert and like Grish, they're out there and they need our help. So if there is anybody out there that can help in any way, please try.
I appreciate you bringing these two pieces to the table today. I think it's a perfect way to show. There's
it all
three
fits,
separate
doesn't it?
Stories. I mean, that, but the, you know what the common thread in all of these three stories is it's other people getting involved.
Exactly.
When it doesn't directly affect them.
We make a difference.
When I say directly, I'm not, you could be a friend of somebody, but you're still not directly. It's part of your life. Yes. I always think, you know, when you're in the situation yourself, they say you're in a vacuum, right? Because
Sure.
All your life becomes that. If you find out you have an aggressive brain tumor, or if your husband or wife or child has something like that, everything in your life becomes about that, and nothing else. Everything else becomes irrelevant and secondary.
Yeah, nothing else
It's
matters.
The people that are closely related to those, and the ones who are even a little bit more distantly related, those are the people that are needed, really, to help those people get through, because everything else stops. They can't cook dinner. They don't have time to cook. They don't have money.
Yeah.
They don't have, they have to pay to get to and from hospital and treatments. And this stuff is so expensive. Yeah, they have great medicine now. Yeah, they have great treatments. It still costs a lot of money. Because of that, other people get involved to make their lives just a little bit easier. And that's where this show is really built upon.
I'm all over that.
What were you going to say, Len?
How much time do I have?
Yeah, two minutes.
Okay. I went to Gilbert's Celebration of Life.
You did.
My sister and I, Patty, and my nephew, Travis, a few weeks ago. And I'm telling you, this guy has touched countless lives. I mean, I think there was over 100 people that were there, and a lot of them got up and testified or gave a testimonial, whatever. The man is well-loved. I mean, when you look at him, he's got the face of an angel.
I see it, yeah.
He's just a beautiful guy, inside and out. And it just, when we can help people like Gilbert and his wife and families and friends, it's huge. It makes you feel like you're worth something, you know? I mean, if I can help somebody, I feel like I'm worth something.
It's true.
And that's a little selfish when you think about it. But it's true.
Yeah, but you know what? Like I always say to people, you wake up and you're the person who has to look yourself in the mirror every day.
Yeah.
And it's important to have that feeling of self-fulfillment.
I think so.
Because if you don't, then you can't possibly help others if you can't love yourself.
True.
And I know that sounds so bullet, what do you call it? Like a
cliche
and bulletin board.
But it's not. It's true.
It's really true.
Yeah,
I know when I'm not at my best, I don't feel like I'm helping others. You know? And because you at your best are more capable and obviously able to do more.
I want to say you're a blessing to me. Yes.
Thank you.
You are a blessing. Boy, you should see this. I wish we had a video of this face. anyway, you are, because you've inspired me, whether you've known it or not, and during the past 4 years that we've known each other.
I feel the same way. I was actually going to tell you that off the air because I didn't want it to sound insincere. I was going to tell you this week because I realized that as well. I think I don't know if I'd feel.
I'm not shy about it, man. I love you, and that's true.
I love you too. I feel like sometimes I don't say it enough because we joke around all the time. But yeah, this show is one of those things that I feel like it forces me to stop and look around at those less fortunate.
True.
And
true.
I don't know otherwise if I would do it as much.
I don't either.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone listening to the show. Get involved, please. That's all. That's the theme of this show today, is for you to get involved in some level. If you can help out with Girish, go to SOS Girish, G-I-R-I-S-H. I want to thank Renu for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Renu.
And I want to thank especially Semreen, who passed along this information and made this possible today. And we'll be back again next week with a whole new edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.